Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. We've got a great show for you this morning, and I'm really excited to have in the house Mike Slifer, WFSB Channel 3 meteorologist, a very fine-looking young man, I can tell you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here, Mike. You know, I've sat back and really admired, you know, your growth and getting started in this market, and I just kind of want to talk about that and talk about weather, because here's a fun fact. You ready?
Hit me.
Years ago, when I started my career right out of college, I was a fat weather girl in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Really?
Yeah, I did the weather.
Wow, what did you think of it?
You know, I didn't know what I was doing.
That's okay.
I just knew high pressure meant, you know, nice weather, and kind of knew where all my states were, and it was hilarious. So, you know, I kind of regret not sticking with it and getting my meteorology degree, and I think it could have been great for my career. But anyway, everything's good, and here we are now. So you're actually from Connecticut, which is so cool, right?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Where are you born and raised?
Cromwell.
Cromwell, Connecticut, yeah. Home of the...
Travelers Championship.
Travelers Championship, which is going on, and also home of the, Berlin Fair.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, well, Cromwell, Berlin.
Right down the road.
They're neighbors. But, you know, you didn't start in this market, and that's also what I admire about people that are in the business. It's like you kind of paid your dues. You spent some time in West Virginia, right?
Yes, yes.
How long were you there?
I was there 3 years. Met my lovely wife there, which was great, but it was nice to meet a woman who was like, you know, I'm ready to move out. And I was like, great, you want to come back to New England?
And here she is, and here she is.
Here she is and thriving.
Where do you guys live?
We're in Cromwell.
You're right back home.
I don't go far.
Wow, that's great. So let's explain to our listeners, what is a meteorologist? Because you're not just a weather guy, right? You kind of know what you're talking about?
Once in a blue moon. you know, the meteorology piece of it really is pretty intricate in how we learned about the atmosphere. We took a lot of physics, chemistry, math, every type of calculus you can imagine. Been there, done that. Thankfully, we have computers, so we don't have to do it every day. But it's just fascinating how it all works. It's almost like an applied physics degree in a way. You learn fluid dynamics and apply it to the atmosphere, because at the end of the day, the atmosphere is just another fluid. It's gas, of course. It's not liquid, but it's another fluid. So learning how the jet stream works and has all those downstream impacts and implications, it's really quite fun.
But it's tough. It's a tough degree to get. I mean, if you got to go through all of that, you know, you've really had to, you know, do the work, right?
Yes. Those college nights of staying up and studying, you know, differential equations until you end up falling asleep in the library, you know. I'm glad those days are behind me, but there's a lot of hard work that went into it.
So why did you decide to get into meteorology?
Great question. That's just what I've always wanted to do.
Since?
5 years old.
Really?
6 years old. Like, you know, kindergarten. It's like, okay, what does everybody want to be when they grow up? Everyone's like, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a weather guy.
And here you are today.
And here I am.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Mike Slifer, WFSB meteorologist. You also did an internship over at NBC Connecticut, right, back in the day?
Yes, I interned there. You know, I was with Tyler Jankowski, who's now chief in Burlington, Vermont. Worked with Ryan Hanrahan, too. So certainly a lot of great knowledge there. It was a very open-ended internship program. So basically, you make it how you want. So I was able to spend time with everybody on all different day parts and see how everything worked. And that did include, you know, some very early weekend mornings, which is maybe tough to convince a college kid to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the opportunity is here. You got to take it.
You know, and that's the thing. When you have those opportunities, you got to make the most of them. Because how many interns end up getting hired? I mean, so many do. It's
yes,
like how you perform. You know, people think, oh, you know, I'll just go get people coffee and things. No, it's much, much, much more than that.
Yes.
So how did you end up back at WFSB?
I was working in Maine at the time, and just always kind of had my eye on jobs in this market. But that's where I really wanted to land, was Channel 3. This is what we watched growing up. And it just kind of worked out. timing, as you know, in this business is more than half of it, because you can have the skill set, you can have connections, whatever, you can have everything. But if the job isn't open, then it doesn't exist. Plain and simple. This isn't one of those industries where you can be like, well, let me, you know, kind of get my foot in the door somewhere else and maybe work my way to that. It's like that position either exists or it does not.
Right. If you think you're going to start on the assignment desk and work into full-time meteorologist, think again.
Good luck.
Right. Exactly. So how long have you been there now, Mike?
Going on 4 years.
4 years. And I mean, your shift kind of varies. You're all kind of filling in for each other. Or what's your main shift?
My shift is 2:30 to 10:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And of course, you know, if somebody's off on a weekend, we'll fill in, or sometimes you step in to do a different part of the day depending on what the needs are, if there's a big weather event happening. But so far, so good. We've managed to avoid a lot of that outside of the winter.
Right. You do a great job.
Thank you.
So how is this a good market to be a meteorologist? I mean, like, I can't imagine being a meteorologist in Florida. You know, hot and dry, hot and dry, hot and dry. How many times can you say that, right?
Yes.
But is New England challenging from a meteorological standpoint?
Yes. I actually found Maine to be more challenging forecast-wise compared to Connecticut. And maybe that's just because geographically it's so much larger. But Connecticut is really interesting because we get everything, but we never get the worst of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in the summertime, we talk about heat, we talk about humidity, we talk about thunderstorms, every now and again a severe weather day. But it's not like the Midwest, where you're basically March through May is like, all right, we have to be on alert for tornadoes almost every day.
Right.
It's not like the tropics, where from, we'll say, mid-July, hurricane season in the Atlantic starts June 1st, but, you know, mid-July into August when that activity really ramps up. From then until October, where you're on alert for any hurricanes or tropical storms, whatever it may be. And our winter storms here are, they're fine. We can weather them.
Right. So you got to keep your head up. But talk about now about, you talked about there's no more calculus and all that. You don't really have to sit down and mathematically figure out what the weather's doing. But when I watch it now and I say, well, we could get hit with this, but the European model is saying we might get this. And like, one's going in one direction, one's going the other direction. And I, as a viewer, I get kind of frustrated. It's like, you know, pick one, do your job, tell me what's going to happen.
Right.
Why don't you guys do that?
We like to try to choose what we think is most likely, but we always try to explain that this isn't the end all be all. There are other possibilities. The idea behind it, I guess, is more in line of transparency. So part of the First Alert branding with Channel 3 is to be like, all right, we're giving you the First Alert. This is something that is on our radar. It's maybe 5 or 6 days out, but we were watching the potential for this time of year, we'll say, thunderstorms, right? And, you know, there's a chance that if this area of low pressure, Connecticut's a small state, relatively speaking, 50 miles makes a huge difference for us. If this tracks to our south, all of a sudden, we don't have any thunderstorm risk here. And so we try to keep the door open to say, like, this is how things could evolve. Sometimes you'll hear us say, hey, next week we're forecasting temps to be near 85 degrees. But if the clouds don't actually build in, then 90's on the table. So sort of we make a decision, but we let you know what the thought process is behind it, where things could potentially move. In the wintertime, we talk a lot about, hey, we're expecting temps, you know, to be in the 30s this day, and we're expecting some precip. If it starts up after sunset, it's probably going to be in the form of ice or snow. Whereas, you know, if it was at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, it might just be rain.
So do you apply what you learned in college and getting your degree now, or is it all just changed so much that you had to kind of relearn the new technology?
There's definitely been a lot of learning, which I think is good. The technology continues to advance. I do definitely apply a lot of what I learned in school. There's some things that just, when you get back to the basics, is the best way to approach it. Looking at the overall pattern, figuring out temperature. Sometimes we look at the temperature higher up in the atmosphere and think, potentially, what can we reach? Are we talking about a day where it's going to be 99 degrees or 92? Those are very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the answer to that is not actually what's happening at the surface, but higher up in the atmosphere. And so some of those basics that we learned in school, being like, all right, well, you know, at this level of the atmosphere, the temperature is this, we're going to have full sunshine, so we should be in the upper 90s. Those things make all the difference.
We're speaking with meteorologist Mike Slifer from WFSB Channel 3. I was always curious because, you know, okay, so Scott Haney starts in the morning, right?
Yep.
And then you've got, you know, your other weather folks, and then you pick it up. Do you inherit what Scott says in the morning, or do you have to inherit that, or do you reconfigure your own forecast, or how does that work?
Constant evolution.
Okay.
So basically, The forecast is always, obviously, we're always moving forward a day, whenever in the afternoon when Mark and I sit down to work on
Mark
some
Dixon.
Of that. Yeah,
right.
Chief Meteorologist Mark Dixon.
Chief Meteorologist Mark Dixon.
That's right.
Let's give him credit where credit's due.
And so we will evolve the forecast. It's very uncommon for somebody to sit down and make a completely new forecast. Typically, we're looking at what other people did. Scott, Jill, Tyler, when they're working the morning shows, will look at what we did and tweak as needed. Oh, we said it was going to be 80 degrees, but at noon it's already 78. So it's probably going to be more like 82, 83, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were expecting showers for the evening commute, but they're starting up at lunchtime. So maybe they'll be done by that. Those little tweaks, but those make all the difference.
It doesn't mean that the other people were wrong.
No, no. It just means that you get new information and you change
it. You have to update it. So now we've got 10-day forecasts. How in the heck does that happen?
Well, we like to stick with a 7-day at Channel 3.
Okay, 7-day. Maybe I exaggerated. It seems like a 10-day forecast. You're right. It's a 7-day forecast. That's a long time to predict weather.
It is. And it's funny because we have some graphics that we show that'll be 6 to 10 days in the future, 8 to 14 days in the future, but they're not as specific. It's very easy to discuss how the pattern is going to evolve, what it's going to favor. Is it going to favor things being warmer, cooler, wetter, drier? It's extremely difficult to get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about something that's 9 days from right now.
Right. Or people will call you, our events, you know, in 7, 8 days, what's the weather going to be like?
Exactly.
How many of those calls do you get?
We get
my wedding's on Sunday. Is it going to rain?
People will sometimes email us and be like, my wedding's 2 months from today. Do you have any idea what the forecast is going to be? And it's like,
let me get out my crystal ball.
Yeah. Exactly.
But people do that. You know, I used to call the meteorologist at Channel 30 when I was flying because I didn't like to fly. So I would call them and say, hey, what's the weather looking like from here to Colorado? Am I going to hit turbulence? That was my comfort zone, right? For
yep.
them to, you know, at least if I knew it was going to be bumpy starting out, I could prepare myself. So that was my phone call to meteorologists. But yeah, I mean, you get kind comments from when the weather's beautiful, you're the best.
Sometimes.
When the weather's not, you're the worst. I mean, do you get that out in public when people recognize you? Do they say anything?
Almost everybody is very kind.
Are they? Good.
Yes.
They should be.
But there are definitely some people. What I find most interesting is, you know what, the weather is bad on a big day like the 4th of July, right? People will be upset about that, rightfully so. I find it interesting when people sort of try to demonize the nice days too.
What do you mean?
Like, oh, you know, it's been 70 and sunny for a week, and somebody's like, yeah, well, you know, we need rain. It's like, yeah, yes, we need rain, but we can enjoy the fact that it's 70 and
sunny.
Right. Like, both things can be true. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
But I always find it funny when people will be like, you know, you guys are very excited that it's going to be warm and sunny over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's most people, I think, you know, agree with that.
I don't know where these people come from, but, you know, I know when I was working at NBC, I mean, the phone calls we would get, you know, they didn't like my earrings or, you know, all the criticism. People are just can be so cruel,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And, you know, you got to realize that these on-air people are just there doing their job,
yep.
You know, trying to inform people in the best way that they can. And what I like about you, Mike, too, is you do it with personality and you do it with a personal touch. And not everybody can do that because, you know, it's kind of a nerdy background.
Yes,
like you're kind
absolutely.
Of like you're like an engineer, right? You kind of
yes.
have that kind of, you know, training and stuff. But then to come out with a personality on top of it, that's a home run.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I think that's why you should trust your local meteorologist over the app. Everybody has a phone in their pocket. Everybody looks at their apps all the time. Just watch for a minute. Sometimes I think that people will... apps especially, you get one icon, right? And that's supposed to represent an entire day.
It's never right on mine. I mean, never.
No, and the takeaway sometimes is not always accurate with how things will play out. You could have showers in the morning and a beautiful afternoon, but that app's going to show a rain icon.
Mm-hmm.
So you may look at that and think to yourself, oh, well, there goes my entire day.
Yeah.
It's not always how it goes. Or vice versa. Sometimes you look and you see sunshine, and then you're like, well, why is there a thunderstorm at 4 p.m.?
Right. But that's not you. That's not your fault.
No.
Right? That's not your fault. So you try to, you know, you keep your own WFSB stuff up to date, and that's where people need to go, and that's why you guys always say, you know, download our stuff, not a generic app. And, you know, you're not just on the air, you know, you're not just on during the newscast. Now you're streaming. I mean, you're everywhere. The business has changed so much in that regard.
Yes.
As far as consumers having access on different platforms, does that mean more work for you?
Yeah, it definitely can mean more work depending on the day. You know, I think that the accessibility is huge. The fact that people can really find us anywhere all the time is good for consumers. But especially on like long weather days, it can, when we have a snowstorm or something like that, it can really add up, because previously it was like, well, we can't cover this on TV, right? So it was sort of a built-in break. That doesn't happen online. Mm-hmm. You're on all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of adjusting.
What's the biggest challenge right now with weather? I mean, we hear a lot about global warming, all this extreme weather that we've seen in the Midwest. And, you know, I grew up my childhood in Iowa, so I've been through many a tornado and spent much time in the basement under the pool table. But, you know, it's just, you know, and that's what I love about Connecticut. But there's, you know, there's wildfires, there's flooding, there's hurricanes, there's tornadoes. It seems that the weather has gotten so much more extreme. Is it true, or is it just because we're covering it?
We definitely have seen an increase in the amount of extreme events. And that goes for everything from, like you mentioned, wildfires, especially out west, to significant rain events. One of the biggest concerns when it comes to sort of of climate change in general is that a warmer atmosphere can hold more water. The more water vapor you have, the heavier your rain is. And so that leads to things like increased flooding instances. And, you know, you think back to summer of 2023 here in our state, it all started up around the 4th of July. And
yes.
It rained forever.
Oxford.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we dealt with a lot of those. We've dealt with some of those significant events here in Connecticut. And it's been worse maybe in other parts of New England. Vermont, Maine have had some just devastating flash floods over the last several summers especially. So the increase in those events definitely makes forecasting more difficult, because what used to be a more, we'll say, traditional rain event, not as impactful, can sometimes change very quickly to very quickly become very impactful. And so you're sort of on your toes a little bit more when it comes to trying to figure out how those things will change and evolve. But it also makes it difficult when you're battling things like an app, because an app can't tell you about flash flooding potential. Your app is not breaking down like a window of time when severe thunderstorms are possible. So sometimes that communication can be a bit more difficult, because you're trying to tell people something that they maybe think they know. And it's not a knock on the people, it's the way that the apps are built. Mm. And so that communication challenge is just as difficult as keeping up with these more extreme events.
Right. So why do you think it is? Why do you think the weather's getting more extreme, in your professional opinion?
Definitely related to the fact that our base state as a globe has warmed. So we had a pretty cold winter here. But
not a lot of snow.
Well, we had a couple of big snowstorms, but like overall, the overall theme, I guess, of winter, right, was more that it was cold. We had some dry stretches in the winter. But when you look at the U.S. as a whole, and especially the world, like we were the odd ones out. We were the cold ones in globally. Most other places were warmer than average. The Western United States, it was like the warmest winter on record for many of their long-standing climates.
My family in Colorado, I think they got one little snowstorm, and now they're in the midst of a drought out there.
Yep.
Because you need that snow, obviously, you know, to nourish everything during the summertime.
And what happens after a drought?
Wildfire.
Out west? That's correct.
So, and that's what they're keeping their eyes on. Yep. I mean, it's scary. And that's one of the reasons that I kind of stay in New England, too, stay in Connecticut, because we don't get those extreme things. You know, when I go to pick a place where I'm going to retire, I don't want to have to worry about a hurricane wiping me out or a flood wiping me out. I don't want to worry about that. So I think we're in a good spot, don't you, as far as no extreme weather forecasts?
100% agree. The Atlantic Ocean, I often say, is the great equalizer. In the winter, it helps to keep us a little bit milder. In the summer, it also keeps us a little bit milder. So far, this severe weather season locally, it's been northern New England. There have been multiple tornadoes in Vermont, but we haven't had any in Connecticut. we haven't really had much in the way of severe weather so far this season, which is fine. We can keep it
that way. Let's keep it that way. But if we do, we'll be watching you on WFSB.
And we'll be there for you.
Okay. You're also having some fun. You're doing some little side bits. You go out, you get to feature different things in different towns in Connecticut. Talk about that, Mike.
Yeah, so we just did well, at this point, we have already aired our Summer Escape special. Time flies, I tell you.
Okay, yeah.
But we, this is our fourth year doing it. So Kate Francis and I get to experience different things across Connecticut. And this year was a little bit more special because previous years, some of the stories were assigned, whereas this year it was more carte blanche. We got to choose and do what we
wanted. Nice.
So... got to focus.
And there, what was your favorite? I mean, there's so many fun things to see and do that everybody knows about. What, was there anything that you found that was unique?
Bumper
boats?
I think that, the Berlin batting cages in general is fun. It was like a nostalgia trip because I haven't really been since I was a kid.
Wow.
It was a rite of passage. Every kid in Cromwell had to have a birthday party there at some
point. Oh, yeah.
But I haven't been in a while and, you know, to sort of relive that through the lens of an adult. And I can't. It was so affordable. Like, that was my takeaway from the day. I was like, you could bring your kids here, and it's affordable. You'd spend more money if you went to go see a movie or something.
Wow.
Like, get outside, have some fun in the sun for a couple or a few hours.
Right.
And it's affordable. You can't beat it.
Yeah. Well, you're always out and about, and I know I got to know you a little bit better last year at the Berlin Fair. You were out there doing your live weather shots. I think you're going to be out there again this year, hopefully. So it's the 77th annual Berlin Fair. Ooh. Was that also a rite of passage for you growing up?
Every single season.
But your school didn't get the day off on Thursday, right?
No, but...
just Berlin kids.
Yes. I had great parents who were very quick to take us.
Oh, that's right. You deserve a sick day, right?
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
They say, Mike. So, yeah, it's coming up. It's September 17th to the 20th, and you'll be out there. Last year, we had some great weather, and, you know, it's just a great family event. Do you enjoy getting out there publicly and doing stuff like that?
Absolutely love it. Sometimes I think that those are the days that, like, carry me through. Not that it gets monotonous, because that's one of the things I like about this job is no 2 days are the same.
Exactly.
But it is so nice, especially September, October.
Oh, beautiful,
my opinion,
fall.
Yeah, the best time of year.
The smell of fried dough and the sounds of the music and the... oh, it is. It's just... it's so New England, right?
Yeah, I love standing at the Berlin Fairgrounds and looking off at the hillside, and, like, you start to see those little tinges of color popping up,
yeah.
And it's like, all right, give me my candy apple, and
let's
sit and enjoy this for 10 minutes. So, yeah, love getting out there. We had a ton of fun at the fairs last year, and looking forward to whatever the season will hold.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. Just give us nice weather. That's all we ask, right? Do people ever get mad at you because, you know, you can make or break a restaurant on a Saturday night. You can make or break a lot of events. So do people ever get upset that, you know, you said it was going to do one thing and it didn't?
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes with the territory. I like to think I have pretty thick skin, so I try not to take anything personally. But it's really interesting. Most people I've found, even if they come at you a little aggressively, we'll call it, maybe some words we can't say on the radio.
Yes.
All you have to do usually is respond, and typically it's like they tone right down and apologize, and then you can have a conversation.
Right.
And I think that's the...
diffuse it.
Exactly.
They want you to respond. They want you to react.
Right.
And then you really get yourself in trouble with the boss, so you just smile, and then you try to re-engage them. But there's crazies out there everywhere.
Yeah, you definitely don't win every battle, but I will say most of them, in my experience, you can at least turn it into a conversation. And you know what, there's been people who have been like, yeah, we've been watching, you know, so and so, but since you're basically giving us the time of day, we're gonna watch you guys instead.
Nice.
Or, we don't watch TV, but now that we've had a discussion,
right,
we put a face to it, we'll start tuning in.
And that's where Mike Slifer, a WFSB meteorologist, you're so personable. There's some people that have been out there on television and been in different, you know, positions there that are just weren't approachable,
yes,
you know, or didn't go out to events and make themselves, you know, human, you know. So
yes,
you're approachable, you're human, and that's what gets the viewers, and that's what engages people, because, you know, you're just real. You're a real guy. You know, I follow you on social media. What's your dog's name?
Winnie.
Winnie. So what's your plans for the future? You going to stick around a while?
I'm
putting you on the spot.
No plans to leave, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're right where you want to be.
Yeah, and that goes back to, I think, what we were just talking about with the community aspect of it is, since I've had the privilege to work in other markets, other stations, and freelance throughout my career too, so I've been in a lot of different newsrooms now. Something that always drew me to Channel 3 was their involvement in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going back well before I was in this career. There are definitely newsrooms that I've worked in who, like, their existence is just to kind of be there when it's convenient and then not otherwise. Everything else is hands off. I don't think that I thrive in that type of environment. Mm-hmm. So getting back here to a station that is so big on community is huge. And being able to go out and do school visits and be parts of career fairs and work with the Connecticut Science Center. There's so many great opportunities to be in the community. And then that goes, of course, for like parades and other town events and things like that to be a part of.
Right. And it's your time. That, I mean, that's your personal time. Those are your weekends. Those are your evenings. But
correct.
You're out there and you're doing it. Well, it sounds like you found the right fit. I never say good luck. I always say continued success, Mike Slifer, because
thank you.
You truly are a rising star.
Thank you.
And you do a great job. And I really appreciate your hard work and dedication. And can't wait to see you again out at the Berlin Fair.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
All right. And keep those skies nice and blue and bright this summer, okay?
Fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, thanks again for coming in. I appreciate it. Mike Slifer, WFSB meteorologist. I'm Ann Baldwin. And thanks to you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.